Oh, so nice to be, so nice to be with you again. And I've been listening to the news, and you've had some pretty difficult days in British Columbia with your mudslides and closures and floods. And we've been asking the Lord to intervene for you and help you in your difficult times, but it's just a great opportunity to share our hope, to share the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. So take advantage of every opportunity. Sometimes we just want to be quiet. Sometimes we're too shy. We don't want to say too much. We think people might not understand or take it right. Well, don't be rude and don't be crude. Speak politely and graciously and lovingly, but tell the truth. And if the truth offends, we can't change the truth, but I can change the way I express the truth. And so ask God to give you boldness and courage in these days. A Sunday school teacher asked her class, if you could have anybody that has ever lived in the world to stand in for you at the day of judgment to plead your case, who would you like to stand in for you on that day? Little girl raised her hand immediately, and she said, Abraham Lincoln. She said, he was such a nice man, and I'd really like for Abraham Lincoln to stand in for me on that day. Well, there's better people than Abraham Lincoln that have lived, but no matter how good the person is who has lived on earth, please listen to me now. There is no one qualified to stand in for you on Judgment Day other than only one person in all of eternity, not just in time, but of all eternity, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you why he's the only one. You see, man has fallen into condemnation, that is judgment. And he's fallen into judgment because man has sinned against a holy and a righteous God. And we're going to look at some references today about that. But what you have to do, if you want someone to take your place in that day, you have to have someone who had never sinned. And you can look long and hard since time immemorial. And the only person who has ever lived or who will ever live, only one person who has never sinned, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never sinned yesterday, and he doesn't sin today, and he's not going to sin in the future because he is the only one qualified to take your sin. So he is the one and the only one. You'll notice every message that every preacher at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, every preacher will mention that name again and again and again and again, because there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way, and that is the Lord Jesus. Excuse me. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. And so we recommend the Lord Jesus to you today. We're going to preach Christ crucified here. We're going to preach that he's the only person that can save you and deliver you from your sin. But now this morning, I want to do something that's not very popular. I want to talk about sin. You say, oh, well, we know all about that. We don't need, no, you don't know everything about that. And I don't know everything about it. But I tell you what the tendency is today. The tendency is to call sin something else. We might call sin a lifestyle. Well, that's just the way they live. That's just their lifestyle. We might call sin a sickness. Well, you know, it's just they've got this problem, and it's just a sickness, really. We might call sin a mistake. Well, you know, nobody's perfect. They just made a mistake. We might call sin, well, and nothing is really wrong. It's situational ethics. Like if two adults agree and you love one another, I mean, what could be wrong with that? And so we try to justify our lifestyle. We try to make up words that will somehow not seem as serious or as bad. But dear friend, let me tell you, God calls it sin. Now, you and I maybe look at it this way. Adam and Eve in the garden disobeyed God. And that was very serious. You say, well, why is it that eating an apple is so bad? Well, first of all, we don't know if it was an apple. And that wasn't the problem. God had told them not to eat the fruit of that tree. That's what God told them. And God very emphatically told them, if you eat the fruit of that tree, you will die. Now, they lived in a perfect place with a perfect environment, surroundings. They don't know what death is. They've never seen anything die. But you just keep in your mind that whenever you read the word death in the scriptures, you can substitute another word for that, the word separation, okay? So we could put it like this. God said to Adam, in the day that you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely be separated from me. That's what happened. See, when they ate the fruit of that tree, of course, Eve ate it first. You know the story. Gave to her husband with her, and he ate the fruit, and their eyes were open. They knew that they were unclothed. They were naked, and they ran away. They were separated from God. Sin always separates. And so the problem here is not that they ate a fruit. The problem is they disobeyed God. That's the problem. So you and I come along and we say, well, you know, the real problem today is the society in which we live. It's a permissive society. It's a liberal society. And you can do anything with anybody, anytime you want to, and nobody cares anymore. That's the real problem, permissive society. Or you might say, well, it's the school system. They're teaching things in the school system today that are just programming children to live a lifestyle that is really bad. It's really the school system. And then someone said, no, it's not the school system. It's the home. The home doesn't know how to raise children anymore. And parents don't know how to raise children anymore. That's really the problem. And then someone said, well, it's not really the home. It's the individuals, of course. And people are lonely and people are not fulfilled. And there's so much misunderstanding today, and there's so many bad habits today, and there's so much wickedness in the world. And really the problem is the corrupt government. That really is the problem. If we didn't have a corrupt government, we would have a better society. Dear friend, did you know God just puts a big X over all of that and says, that is not the problem. The problem is sin. Sin. Now, in Proverbs 29 and 18, you just write that down. I'm not going to turn there. In Proverbs 29 and 18, I like the old King James Version. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, the New King James puts it like this. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Think about that. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. So this word vision, the word revelation is good. Now, a revelation is God revealing something to us. Okay, let's suppose we didn't have a Bible. Let's suppose we didn't have a conscience. Let's suppose God had never written in our mind his laws. You could do anything and it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't feel guilty. You wouldn't have a conscience about it. You wouldn't even know what you're doing. But all that is not true. God has written his laws in our heart and in our mind. Did you know that when you steal something, nobody has to tell you that's wrong? Did you know that? That is wrong. And God wrote that in your heart and in your mind. Do you know when you commit immorality, nobody has to tell you that is wrong? You know in your heart and in your mind that that is wrong. But just think about this. What if people forget right or wrong? What if there's no vision? What if there's no revelation? What if there's no preacher? What if there's no reminder? I told you a story a couple of years ago that my wife asked her small Sunday school class, who is God? And this little guy about 5 years old said, God is a race car driver. And she said, whoa, I've heard a lot of things. I never heard that one before. God is a race car driver. You see, evidently his dad had been taking him to the racetracks on Sunday, and all he heard was God this and God that, and he put two and two together, and he thought God was a race car driver. Where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, where God does not speak, the people cast off restraint. The people perish. There's no better time for you to read your Bible than today. There is no better time for you to seek the Lord than today, because God's word is always true. You don't get a vision. You don't get a revelation. You don't get any direction from God. Men harden their hearts. They sear their conscience. They say, no, 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 I don't want to believe that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to accept that. And the next thing you know, they cast off all restraints. Would you agree with me that you think the world is worse today than it was when you were a child? I think so. I believe I could go this far. I believe that children today, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come, if they grow up to be an old man like me, you know what they're going to say? The world has got worse in their lifetime. That is because we're getting too complicit with things. We compromise. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to call sin, sin. Somebody might be offended. I guess God never thought about that when he wrote the Bible, that somebody might be offended. Dear friend, don't be belligerent. Don't get in somebody's face. Don't start running people down and cramming the Bible down their throat. But listen, we got to take a stand today. We got to say that is wrong. That is sin. That is not right. And God had his hand on that. God has his judgment on that. Friends, we've got to be We've got to tell the truth today. God takes sin so serious that he has condemned mankind, and they are under the judgment of God. And the Bible is very, very clear what happens to people who will not listen to God. They don't have a vision. They don't have a revelation. If they do have a vision and they do have a revelation, they say, I don't want it. I don't want to believe in it. Now, let me just read a few verses. Take your Bible. We're going to the book of Psalm chapter 14, Old Testament first. Psalm chapter 14. And we'll notice just a few verses beginning in verse 1. Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looked down from heaven. That's a pretty good perspective, you know, looking down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any who understood, who seek God. Here's the conclusion. Look at verse 3. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. All right, now let's go to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. You're going to say, well, this is another contemplation of David, who wrote the other psalm. And listen, he must be having a flashback here. And God says, I'm just going to record this twice for you, just in case in your Bible reading you missed it the first time. Look at Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity, sin, wrong, evil. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now, that's the Old Testament, and we could go to many places, but I just want to drive this point home. God, in his estimation, not David, in his estimation, David knew his heart was deceitful and desperately wicked. He knew that. But God says that there is none that does good. They've altogether become unprofitable. There's none. They're corrupt. They've gone out of the way. There's none that seeks God. Now, you and I would compare ourselves with one another and usually confess that we're not that bad. I'm not as bad as the bad guy. I'm not as bad as the child molester, the drunkard, the addict, the criminal, the murderer. I'm not as bad as them. So I must then be good. Compared to who am I good? Compared to the worst, I'm good. So God looks down from heaven and he doesn't see that any. Now, in the New Testament, and you're familiar with these verses, so we're not going to turn to all of them, but in the New Testament, we're told in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short. They miss the mark. They don't come up to the standard. Everyone, all have sinned, none that doeth good. And then we understand from Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Now, why am I talking so much about this? Because I believe that we have compromised sin, both in the world in which we live and both in the Christian community in which we live. Listen, the Christian community today seems to accept things they never accepted, you know, let's say 100 years ago. Now, I know there's a lot of debate as to what's right and what's wrong and Christian liberty and all that stuff. I know we're not talking about gray areas. We're talking about out and out sin. We're talking about accepting in our churches today what used to slink down the back alleys of our street. We're talking about minority groups and sinful, evil people standing up and say, we have rights. And we go, well, you know, they probably, no, they don't. No, hold it. You're compromising. Listen, God loves every person. You name the sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is. God loves them. Doesn't matter what the sin is. Christ died for them. But that doesn't mean that the sin is okay in the 21st century. Sin is still sin. Now, just in case you forget, no sin, are you listening, will ever enter into heaven. You can't even have the smell of sin on you. Nothing that defiles. All right, well, let's just look at a few definitions of sin. If you're taking notes, we're not going to turn there for time, but just think about it. Sin is breaking God's laws. Okay? 1 John 3:4, if you're taking notes. Sin is anything unrighteous. You say, what's that? Well, you know what good things are, righteous things are? Well, sin is anything that's not that. Unrighteous. That's in 1 John 5:17. Here's another one. Sin, not doing what you know is right. If you know something is right and you don't do it, you know what the Bible calls that? Sin. Because that's sin. And that's found in James 4:17. Here's one that we don't often think about. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Sin is disobedience. Sin is breaking God's laws. Sin is knowing I should do good and I don't. Sin is not of faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, God hates sin. And that's the reason the Lord Jesus came. He came to take away that which God hates. Now, let's read a few manifestations of sin. You're not going to like this. I don't even like to read it myself, but this is what God says. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians 6, New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And let me read in verse number 9. Paul writing to these Corinthian Christians, believers. Notice what he says. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, dear friend, either that's true or you take a pair of scissors and you cut that page out of your Bible. That's what God says. Now, don't go walking down the street this afternoon reading this to everybody on the street. But I'm telling you, don't compromise. Don't say, well, you know, it's not that bad. It was, you know, it's worse in some other areas. No, listen, this is what God says. Look at verse 11. Such were some of you. but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, if you go back and read that list again, you find yourself. Yes, you will. Some way, somehow, you'll see yourself there. Let's read another list. Galatians chapter 5, book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, chapter, Galatians chapter 5, I'll get it, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh, in the context, he said, I'll tell you about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of holiness, but now I'm going to talk about the flesh. This is the opposite. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, it goes on, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you take that serious. That's what God said. It doesn't matter what a preacher says. It doesn't matter what your best friend says. It doesn't even matter what you say. It matters what God says. Shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Go to the book of Revelation. Book of the Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. At the beginning of Revelation 21, this is the beginning of the end, okay? This is the new heaven, the new earth, and all that. Everything's passing away, and eternity is beginning. Look at verse 8 of Revelation 21. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now go over to the last verse, same chapter, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything, that is heaven, that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Where there is no vision, people perish. Where there's no revelation, people cast off restraints. Would you say that today most restraints are cast off? I think so. You see, what's happening is preachers like myself are not as bold as they used to be. We're not calling sin, sin anymore. We're not telling people that if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And if you happen to be here today listening, either in the chapel or on Zoom, and you have never accepted God's rescue plan to rescue from the condemnation of sin, you're in big trouble. You are not going to make it. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus, there's no judgment. But if you happen, you're not going to get into the kingdom. You are not going to get into heaven. You're never going to see the Lord as your Savior, only as your judge, and he's going to cast you into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone forever and ever. That's just the truth. I don't like saying that. I don't like telling people that. But that is the truth. You must have a vision. You must have a revelation. You must hear the word of God. You don't have a prayer. You don't have a chance unless you trust Christ as your Savior. Sin is separating you from God, and you must be brought back to God. And the only way that can happen is through Jesus Christ. Now listen, he took your sin in his own body on the tree. He paid for your sin. I've used this illustration before. Let me use it again in closing. Let's suppose you take a piece of paper and you write all of your sins on this piece of paper. Okay. Then you take a hammer and a nail and you go up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's dying on the cross for you. And you take a hammer and a nail and you nail that to the Lord Jesus. That's your sins. Now, the Bible says God has laid on him all of our iniquities. This is what he's done for you. Every sin you ever committed, every sin you're ever going to commit, every sin you've only committed in your mind, every sin you committed came out of your mouth, every sin you ever committed in your body was involved, every sin God has laid on the Lord Jesus every sin, and the one who knew no sin, the perfect spotless Lamb of God, paid. What's the wages of sin? Death. Who's dying? Jesus taking your place, paying your debt. And we know it was true because when he became sin for us, you know what he said on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Sin separates. When Jesus became sin, he had to be separated from God. That's the penalty. That's the wages of sin, is death. If you refuse that, if you have no vision, if you have no revelation, if you will not hear that, you listen, good luck. You're on your own. The only thing that awaits you is a devil's hell. That's all that awaits you. You have no hope. You might live to be 140. It doesn't matter. One day you will die, and after death, the judgment will come. Now, we've told you the truth here today. You can excuse it. You can pretend it's not there. You can hope it will go away. It will not go away. It will find you out. You are in deep trouble with a holy God. You have sinned. Admit that you are the sinner, and trust Christ as your Savior. That's the only hope you got. Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, and by the grace of God, one thing, you're never going to be able to say you didn't hear it. I'm telling you today, you've heard, you have read the verses, you have heard me read the Bible. This is what God says. I can't believe God even gives us an opportunity to do something about it. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Today, you can have your sins erased, gone, never to be seen again. You can start a new life today. God has a plan for you. But if you reject the revelation, if you reject the word of God, you throw off all restraint, you're just going down the garden path to a devil's hell. That's all that's waiting you. You might make it for a few years on earth, but you are not going to make it after death. There'll be judgment, and it's too late. You can't trust Christ then. But you can do it today. Don't pretend any longer. Face the music. Thank God. Don't try to hide your sin. Don't try to compensate for your sin. Don't try to pretend it's not there. James puts it like this: mourn and weep and be afflicted. Let sin work on you, because once you know what sin does, then you will trust Christ as your Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. You know what he said? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. I'm lifting him up today. You never met anybody more loving, more kind, more gracious, more sacrificial than Jesus Christ. You need to trust him as your Savior today. Let's pray. Father, is it possible that somebody is listening today and they're still under the condemnation, the judgment of sin? I pray, Father, your Spirit will convince them to trust Christ right now, that they'll just reach out by faith and say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be under the judgment of sin. I am a sinner, and I want to thank you that Jesus died for my sins and rose again to give me new life. I want him to be my Savior today. I want your plan for my life today. In Jesus' name, amen.